Thank you to the Board of Trustees, to President Morton, to faculty, to staff, to all the protocol, and to all those I don't know to call. Thank you for this honor. I really do appreciate it. However, before I start, I've got to share a bit of a secret with you. Although I've spoken in many places and preached in many places, domestically, internationally, turns out I've never really spoken at a baccalaureate service before. In fact, truthfully, I wasn't even familiar with the concept of a baccalaureate service until I joined the Board of Trustees here at Peace. But it turns out, as I looked into it, that the baccalaureate service ceremony comes from a 15th century Oxford University tradition in which the students were required to give an intellectual and spiritual graduation ceremony in Latin. In Latin. So, in the spirit of that, and for all you Latin scholars, quid ergo nunc? Quid ergo nunc? Which, in English, is roughly translated, so what now? So what now? Here I am, in a place I've not been before. But that's actually typical of all of us humans. We are all given lives in which we progress time after time through brand new experiences. And we are repeatedly, on a daily basis, faced with choices where each of us have to ask ourselves, so what now? What should we do? Which way should we go? Sometimes we experience tremendous success and we wonder, so what now? What's next? How do I build on that? How do I top that? How do I scale that? How do I maintain that? Sometimes we have a negative or traumatic experience and we wonder, so what now? How do I face this? How do I survive this? How do I recover from this? Interestingly, we've been given a Bible which tells us the story of multiplied hundreds of humans who have gone before us and have faced situations of their own. There's Moses, who was on a literal, physical mountaintop experience. He was face to face with the living God, downloading, if you will, downloading life instructions for his nation, the chosen people. Yet, when he came down, he was faced with rampant, wanton, disobedient behavior by those he was leading, those he loved. So, he might have asked, what now? Then there's Abram, who became Abraham. Abram was chosen by God, was given an amazing promise, an opportunity to establish a great nation. Yet, time after time, Abram fell short, made unwise, spineless, and even immoral decisions. So, he might have asked, what now? Then there's Esther, who won the ultimate national beauty pageant, run by the king himself. Esther ascended via poise, grace, and sheer loveliness to become the actual queen of the nation. Pretty good, huh? Yet, she then became privy to some insider information and was faced with a moral dilemma regarding the literal survival of her people. So she might have asked, what now? Then there's Joseph, Daniel, David, Samson, Paul. I could go on and on regarding the many biblical examples of people facing that question, so what now? And so here we are today at a figurative mountaintop experience. The celebration of the conclusion of a chapter, the completion of hard work, the conclusion of many memorable experiences at peace, such as the survival of COVID years, remember those? Completion of online virtual classes and projects, faculty and staff who were amazing and supportive, demanding workloads, small classes, diverse classmates, immersive learning projects, hanging out on Brigham Lawn, Waterpalooza, throwing a rose into the fountain to start your academic journey, and now preparing to throw a rose into the fountain to end your academic journey. What a ride. What an accomplishment. But underneath the celebratory clamor, the question might still be quietly whispered. So, what now? So with that question in mind, here are six recommendations for your consideration in situations like this. Number one, leverage the tools and resources which you have been given. Institutions such as Peace don't actually give you the answer to every situation you might possibly face, but they give you the tools with which you can figure out the answer when you arrive in those situations. So remember those tools, leverage those tools, seek out counsel from godly people in your network. So number one, leverage the tools and resources you have been given. Number two, embrace God's guidance for your decision and trust His plan for your life. I can remember a personal example of my own. I was at a fork in the road at a technology company. I had two job offers given to me. I had to evaluate which way to go, and I created a little spreadsheet with pros and cons of each and assessing which way to go. And it was clear after I had my pros and cons worksheet that option A was the best path to take. And I prayed about it, and the Lord clearly indicated to take option B. And I said, boy, let me explain to you how spreadsheets work. So you got these rows, you got these columns, and there's like these pros option B. Okay. And I took option B. And interestingly, it turns out my spreadsheet was right. Option A was better. The guy who took the job after me, Tim, he didn't know that he was the second choice guy. But when he took that job, he went to wonderful heights, whereas option B took me down to some interesting valleys. And I was a little mad and discouraged, et cetera. But later on, as I contemplated, I realized, well, actually, in that path B, I had opportunity to lead a colleague to the Lord in my office. I had the opportunity to lead another colleague to the Lord in the cafeteria. And there was a woman who I didn't think liked me. She was always kind of salty with me, even though I tried my best. But I found out later, at her funeral, she passed away from cancer. This woman I'd never met before and never met since came up to me and said, excuse me, you must be Tony Parker. I'm so-and-so's mother, and she always spoke so highly of me. You could have knocked me over with a feather. But clearly, even though it didn't look like at the time, my life had an impact. And so it turned out that it actually wasn't about me and what I wanted. And that's what turns out for all of us. Turns out it's not about you. It's not about you. And those of you who may study Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life, that's the first sentence of the first paragraph of the first chapter, the first page of the book says, it's not about you. And the sooner we learn that lesson and embrace it, the better. So number two, embrace God's guide. Number three, ground yourself in your call, your purpose, your assignment by identifying and remembering what God has uniquely called you to do. I could preach a whole sermon on that. In fact, I already have, so I won't do that now. You can go to my website, tkgministries.org, and read it for yourself, or view it for yourself, tkgministries.org. Purpose is important. Ground yourself in your call, your purpose, your assignment. Point four, accept God's forgiveness. Accept God's forgiveness, for he's a God of second chances. Shortly ago, we had Jacob read a passage from the Old Testament, which recounted the story over there in Genesis chapter 15, where Abram, who became Abraham, received a promise from God. Says, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. Now, it turns out that the Genesis 15 passage is actually not the original promise which was given to Abram. So that was actually when Abram, this Genesis 15 passage, Abram was 85 years old at the time. The original promise was given to Abram, not in chapter 15, but back in Genesis chapter 12, when Abram was 75 years old. And that promise, God said to Abram, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. That Genesis 12 promise was given when Abram was 75 years old. But when Genesis chapter 15 rolls around, 10 years of stuff has transpired. 10 years, and Abram did not see the promise transpire as he was. Exactly. I got my amen corner here. He had not seen the promise come to pass. And to be honest, he had made a number of mistakes, a number of bad choices. So by the time we get to Genesis chapter 15 and Abram's 18, you can think he's kind of wondering, so now what? And in Genesis chapter 15, the Lord basically says to him, the deal is still on, because I am a God of forgiveness and second chances. And in fact, the promise that God made to Abram did come to pass, but actually not until another 15 years. So 25 years from the initial promise, when Abram was 100 years old, was when the promise finally came to pass. But the point is to accept God's forgiveness and remember that he's the God of forgiveness and a second chance. It's point four. Point five, commence small and persevere. Start small and persevere. Keep going. Don't be overwhelmed by the magnitude of whatever the situation is. Old saying I tell my kids all the time, in the answer to the question, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Sometimes you just need to grab you a fork and knife, get you some mustard and ketchup, whatever you need, and chew on that bad boy one bite at a time. And as you continue to do that, commence small and persevere. That persevere is the important part, and then you will get to the end. That was point five. Point six, yoke yourself to courage. Do the right thing. Sometimes you're called to make a courageous, unpopular, or costly decision. And the question then becomes, will you do the right thing or will you do the convenient thing? The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said, the measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but rather where he stands in times of challenge and controversy. And as we think back to Mordecai and Esther, we talked about Esther a few moments ago, Mordecai said to Esther, who knows, but that you were called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And similarly, I will say to you assembled here, God knows that you, each of you, is called to the kingdom for such a time as this. An interesting, chaotic, dangerous, joyful time filled with both tribulation and possibilities. You have been called. You have been equipped. So let's definitely celebrate this moment. Let's take a moment to celebrate the blood, the sweat, and the tears, the sacrifices, the successes, which brought us all to this moment. But as we ponder that question, so what now? Well, let's also remember those six things which I described. One, leverage your tools. Two, embrace God's guidance. Three, ground yourself in your call. Four, accept God's forgiveness. Five, commence small. And six, yoke yourself to courage. And actually, you can see how those things all come together when you think of the first letters of each of those. L, leverage. E, embrace. G, ground. A, accept God's forgiveness. C, commence small. Y, yoke. L, E, G, A, C, Y describes legacy. and they stand for the legacy which you will create by letting your light shine. For who knows but that you were called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Be blessed.